the daylight flees. Now the ground beneath quakes as his maker bows his head. Curtain torn in two, dead are raised to life. Finished the victory's cry. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath we stand forgiven at the cross. Oh, to see my name written in the wounds, for through your suffering I am free. Death is crushed to death, life is mine to live. Worn through your selfless love, this the power of the cross. Son of God, slain for us. What a love, what a cost. We stand forgiven at the cross.
Amen. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. A wonderful song. Let's take Leviticus chapter number 25 for this morning. I'd like to have you look at verse number 10. Leviticus chapter number 25 and verse number 10. The Lord is speaking to Moses, and he says here to them to tell the children of Israel, and ye shall hallow the 50th year. And notice this next phrase, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. The Bible says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto the inhabitants thereof. Lord, today we are thankful that we live in a country such as this. Lord, we are thankful that we have liberty here in our country. But Lord, help us to understand what real liberty is all about. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here today that has never been liberated from sin by the power of the cross, by the power of your shed blood, that today they might find that freedom in Christ, the forgiveness that you have to offer. We ask and pray that you'd help us today. Help us, Lord, to remember the great sacrifice that men and women have paid that we might enjoy the liberties that we have today. But Lord, let us never forget the supreme sacrifice that you gave us on the cross of Calvary. Now we ask and pray, Lord, for your blessing and your divine help, and we ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. On March 23rd of 1775, at the Third Virginia Convention held in Williamsburg, Virginia, at St. John's Church, they were meeting to discuss the relations with England. King George had declared all 13 colonies to be in rebellion, and he ordered Lord Dunmore to seize all gunpowder, all the guns. And they put him on a ship in the harbor. And as they met together to discuss what was going on, Patrick Henry stood up and made this famous quote, "Give me liberty or give me death." liberty. You know, we hear a lot about liberty. Liberty is on our monuments. It is on the Liberty Bell, actually, that has this passage of Scripture on it that we read this morning. We see that the word liberty is mentioned in our hymns that we sing, on our Pledge of Allegiance. It's on some of our money. And yet, I think a lot of people have forgotten what liberty is all about. Our forefathers sacrificed their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor that we might have liberty. It is what our soldiers are fighting for around the world. It is a word that we use. But I wonder if we really understand the definition. Many have never experienced liberty in this world. They're in bondage to evil governments, totalitarian regimes, communist factions. And what we have today, being able to come here today and worship God freely, without threat, is a freedom that we should never take for granted. Just what is liberty? Webster defines liberty this way: freedom from slavery or bondage. I looked it up in my Strong's Concordance and went back to Leviticus 25:10, and it just said this: freedom. But today people have this idea that freedom is, I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, however I want. That is not freedom. That's lawlessness. And if you remember anything today, I want you to remember this: that freedom is not a license to sin. Freedom is not lawlessness. Lawlessness leads to anarchy, and anarchy leads to bondage. And I'm afraid that's where our country is heading today. Just what was liberty for the nation of Israel? I want you to look at Leviticus chapter number 25 and beginning in verse number 1. And I want you to see some things that as the Bible describes liberty, and I believe that this is the very first time the word liberty is actually used. But I want you to notice what it says in Leviticus chapter number 25 and beginning in verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speaking to the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give you, ye shall then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years shalt thou sow thy field, and 6 years shalt thou prune thy vineyard thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of the vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee, and for thy servant, and for thy maid, and for thy hired servant, and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee, and for thy cattle, and for the beasts that are in the land, shall all the increase thereof be meat. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. And thou shalt cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. What was liberty for the nation of Israel? Just exactly what was it? Verse number 1 through 8 tells me that liberty was a time of rest for the people of Israel. They had a year-long vacation. Could you imagine that? I've heard of preachers having sabbaticals. I've never experienced one of those yet. I know Pastor Sowell up in Toledo at Hope Baptist, he actually took about 11 weeks off a couple years ago. He says, I just need, after he had like 34 years in, he says, I need to get away, get regrouped, rethink. And he says, I might come back, I might not come back. Well, that's a terrible thing to say to your congregation. But he took some time off. He took a sabbatical. There are some denominations, not being an independent Baptist, but there are some, after 7 years, you take a whole year off to regroup. That's a wonderful idea. It's biblical. Amen. There were times when Charles Haddon Spurgeon, great preacher of yesteryear, he would take extended periods of time off. He would take several months off, and just as a sabbatical. Get away, get alone with God. Liberty for the nation of Israel was a time of rest. They rested their land. When I grew up as a kid, I grew up out on the farm. And even though my dad was not a farmer, the farmer was always there almost on a daily basis, and he had his little 60 acres and he'd be out there farming. And one of the things he'd do, he'd plow part of the field, and some parts of the field he would just let it rest. And I'd ask him, I'd say, Melvin, why are you not farming this? He said, because I'm rotating my crops, and this year that land has to lay dormant. It has to rest. Well, that's biblical. Unfortunately, in our society today, we get out there and our farmers, they farm 3,000 or 4,000 acres in this area, and they sow it, and sometimes they get dual crops out if the weather conditions are right, and they work the ground and work the ground and work the ground, and they never let it rest. That's not biblical. For the land, it was to rest. For the people, it was to rest. For the cattle and all the livestock, it was to rest. You see, liberty was about giving rest to God's people. In Hebrews chapter number 4, and verse number 9, it says, there remaineth a rest therefore unto the people of God. One day we are going to experience true and perfect rest. And according to that passage of Scripture, it was actually pointing to the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. So number one, it was a God-given time of rest. Look at verse number 9 of Leviticus chapter number 25. It says, then shall ye cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. It was a time of rejoicing. A time when the trumpet sounded. Now, according to tradition, we find that this trumpet was actually a silver trumpet. Silver in the Bible was always a picture of redemption. And so this silver trumpet would sound forth. And when they heard on the Day of Atonement the silver trumpet being sounded, they realized one thing on the year of Jubilee, that freedom has caught up. On the 50th year, everybody that was an indentured servant went free. If I got into financial trouble and I had to sell part of my property, I would only sell it for that value that would go up to the 50th year, and on the 50th year, all that land came back to me. So if I had 1,000 acres of property and I was 49 years into the Jubilee, I wouldn't get a whole lot of money out of that 1,000 acres because they only got it for 1 year. And if I've run into financial hard times and there was 48 years to go before the next year of Jubilee, I could get a lot of money out of it because somebody could use that property for 48 years. But on the 50th year, the land returned back to the original family and landowner. If I got into financial trouble, the way they took care of finances back in those days, they didn't have a welfare system. I thought I'd get an amen. What they would do if somebody got into trouble financially, they would go ahead and sell themselves, or they would sell their children into servitude. And at the year of Jubilee, all slaves went free. They were free. The debt had been paid. So it was a time of rejoicing. When the children of Israel heard that trumpet sound, they would proclaim, "Liberty, I'm set free, I'm no longer under bondage." So it was a time of great rejoicing. It was also, verse number 10, I want you to notice this. It says, "And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This liberty was for everyone. It wasn't just for a select few. This liberty was for everyone. Rich and poor, free, and especially for the bond. It was available for everybody. It was also, it happened as a time of fasting and as a time of sacrifice and a time of worship, because it happened on the Day of Atonement, according to verse number 9, which was also a time of personal examination, according to Leviticus chapter number 23 and verse number 27, which says, "Also on the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord." So it was a time of worship. On the Day of Atonement, the priest, the high priest, would go into the holy place. He would take the blood of the lamb, and he would go in there. I'm sorry, the blood of an ox, actually. He would go in there, and he would take that blood, and he would confess the sins of his people and confess his sins and sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat. And then the Shekinah glory would come down, which was the physical presence of God among them, a pillar of fire by night, a pillar of cloud by day, and it would rest over top of the mercy seat, which covered the Ark of the Covenant. And by seeing that, they would know that God was in their midst. So it was a time of great rejoicing. It was a time of great worship. It was a time when the sins were atoned for another year. Now, in the New Testament, we have something different. We have not only atonement where Jesus Christ covers our sin, we have forgiveness by God. It's greater than just atonement. In order for God to dwell with his people, Israel's sins had to be covered up, because God is holy and God is righteous and God is pure, and he cannot dwell in the midst of sin. And so the only way that God, being holy and pure and righteous, can dwell among sinful mankind, sin has to be covered. And for the nation of Israel, on the Day of Atonement, when the blood was applied and the priest confessed the sin, atonement was made for all of Israel for 1 year. Their sins was covered. God could dwell with them until the next Day of Atonement. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, all that changed. Because the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom, and now we have access to go directly into the throne room of God with our prayers and our petitions, and now God can dwell in our hearts. And thank God for it. It was a time of when God gave restoration. Leviticus 25 and verse number 10. He restored, all the land was returned to the families, all the homes were returned to the families, all the slaves were freed on that day. All the debts were paid, all the debts were wiped out. Your mortgage, if it come time for the year of Jubilee, listen, your mortgage was forgiven. You wouldn't have to pay it anymore, amen? Boy, that'd make us all excited. I know it would me. It was a time of proclamation. God commanded, the trumpet sounded, the day has arrived. I am free, I am restored, I am blessed. This is what liberty meant to the Israelite. They have been set at liberty, free. But what does it mean for the child of God? What does it mean for us today? What does it mean to have liberty today? I'm afraid that a lot of people today have a lot of confusion concerning what liberty is. And a lot of people today think liberty is nothing more than license. I am free. I can do what I want, say what I want, and I can live any way I want without any repercussions, and don't you dare say anything to me about it. That's the attitude of today's society. People say, well, don't you understand that we live in a democracy? We can do what we want. You know one thing we need to understand? We have never been a pure democracy, and our country was never founded as a pure democracy. We are a representative republic, a nation that is established upon just laws. And if we are a pure democracy, then any evil society can vote in any wickedness they want and make it law. Unfortunately, our educational system has taught our children, and those children are now in our legislative bodies, and they think that we are a pure democracy, and if we want to go ahead and vote in wickedness, and if we want to vote in prostitution, we can do that. If we want to vote in legalizing drugs, we can do that. If we want to go ahead and vote in a wicked lifestyles, we can go ahead and do that because we're a pure democracy. No, we are not. We are not a pure democracy. We are a representative republic, and we have been that way since the foundation of our country. I'd just challenge you to study it out. We are not a pure democracy. We are a nation that is established upon just laws. So what is liberty for the child of God? I want you to turn over to Isaiah chapter number 61, if you would. You say, well, I thought you were going to talk about for us today. I am. Isaiah chapter number 61. And Isaiah said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, and hath sent me to bind up, to proclaim liberty to the captives and to the opening of the prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, and to comfort them that mourn. Look over at Luke chapter number 4, if you would. Luke chapter number 4. Verse number 16, and it came to pass, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recover sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. What does it mean, liberty for the child of God? Jesus said that he came to set at liberty in Luke chapter number 4. He came to set at liberty them that are bruised. So what exactly does that mean? Because Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, we have forgiveness. The debt has been paid. Paid in full. When Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary and he hung between heaven and earth, he said this, it is finished. And because of what the blood did that day, we have liberty. We have been set free. We have been made free through the blood of Jesus Christ. Free. What does that mean? In Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 9, it tells us that Jesus Christ tasted death for every man. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 21, he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 1 and 2, it tells us now that he is our advocate. He is our go-between. In Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 7, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Because of the cross of Christ, I am justified. Romans 5 and verse number 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Romans 5 and verse number 1 tells me that I have now peace with him. I'm no longer against God. I'm no longer at enmity with God. I'm no longer warring with God. Now I have peace with him. In Romans 5 and verse number 2, it talks about now because of what Christ did and his justification that he offers, and because of the peace that we have with God, now we have access to the Father. In Romans 5, 2, it says we also have rejoicing. In Romans 5 and verse number 3 through verse number 5, now we have confidence with God. Yes, now I can approach the throne of God boldly, and I can come before God, and I don't need a priest. I don't need a mediator because I have a high priest, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Romans chapter number 5. Look at verse number 8, if you would. Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, it says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And it says in verse number 9, much more. You'll find that phrase mentioned all through Romans chapter number 8. Much more than now, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. I have salvation because of Christ. Look at verse number 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus, whom we have now received the atonement. Because of Jesus Christ, no longer do I have to bear the burden of sin. No longer do I have to wait and carry that load without end. As Jubilee was to Israel, Jesus Christ is to the Christian. And as the children of Israel were freed from the bondage that they had and the debt that they carried, when you come to Jesus Christ, listen, it's all paid. It's all wiped away. It's all forgiven. And no longer do you have to carry the burden of sin any longer. Amen? Verse number 11, we find that we have joy. We have atonement. Look over at Romans chapter number 8. Look at verse number 1. In Romans 8, verse number 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. I'm not condemned anymore. The law condemned us. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Paul said in the book of Romans, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. We need to understand today that because of Jesus Christ, I am no longer in condemnation. I have passed from death unto life. John 5, 24. And then we find also in verse number 1, I'm no longer in condemnation and also now have a union with Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Look at verse number 2. All because of Jesus Christ, now I am free from the law of sin. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. That is what liberty is all about. Liberty is about being made free from the penalty of our sin. The penalty of my sin and the penalty of your sin is being separated from God forever and ever in a place called hell. That is the penalty for our sin. But God loved us so much that He was willing to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to live in this world and live a sinless life and to die a sinner's death. Sin is a horrible thing. Sin will bind us. Sin will blind us. And then sin will defeat us. That's what happened to Samson. Oh, he didn't think sin was a big thing. He played around with sin. He mocked sin. And one day he spilled his guts to Delilah. And she found the secret of his power and humbled him. And they came upon him and they put out his eyes. They bound him and made him grind meal. They humiliated him. You know, so many times people will say, well, you know what? I'm free to do whatever I want to do. If I want to drink, I want to go ahead and drink. If I want to party, I'm going to go out and party. If I want to do drugs, I'm free to do drugs. After all, some of these things are legal today in the United States. In a lot of states today, you can go out and buy drugs and you can go out and commit all kinds of things that are morally wrong, and you can do those things. And people say, you know what? It's my right. I want to do those things. I have freedom. Yeah. You remember this. Freedom is not license to do what's wrong. A person thinks that they are free, and really, it's nothing more. They're claiming to have license to sin, to do what they want, when they want, however they want. But that only brings to bondage. The drunkard will say, I'm free to take a drink. Just remember the old Chinese proverb, which says, a man takes a drink, then the drink takes a drink, then the drink takes the man. I'm free to take a drink. Yeah, go ahead. If you must, then that drink will take control of your life. And then that drink will destroy your family. It'll rob from you. There has never been one thing that alcohol has ever benefited society in any manner. None. People say, well, you know what, if I want to smoke my dope, I can do that. I guess it's legal in some states. May I remind you, all of these things are nothing more than gateway drugs to something harder. And the end, it'll destroy you. People say, I've got liberty. I can do whatever I want. Yeah, unfortunately, the people that don't do those things have to pay the bill. We've got to pay the hospital bills, and we've got to pay for the accidents, and we've got to pay for the lost wages. We've got to pay for the children that are left behind because somebody ended up leaving their children behind because of alcohol or drugs or whatever it might be. Go ahead and proclaim liberty at the sacrifice of everybody else. That is not liberty. That is license to sin. And license leads to anarchy, and anarchy leads to bondage. I've been in many drug rehab houses, and I've watched people go through the DTs and sitting there shaking, trying to come off of drugs. And they're saying, I'm free. No, they're in bondage. They're in bondage. That's what sin does. It binds us. For the child of God, liberty, it's found in Jesus Christ. It's revealed through justification and peace and access and joy and confidence and salvation and atonement and no condemnation. Joy. That's how liberty is actually revealed. But what liberty is not? And many people are confused about it. It's not freedom from the law. And there are even some well-meaning Christians that have got caught up in this doctrine, the doctrine of antinomianism, which basically says this: because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, I can live whatever, however I want because I'm forgiven. If I want to go out and commit adultery, I can do that because I'm forgiven. If I want to go out and smoke dope, I can do that because I'm forgiven. If I want to go out and rob a gas station or do whatever I want to do, I'm forgiven. I can go out and do that. And there are people that will take it that far. But that's not what the Bible says. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter number 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And then he made this statement, God forbid. Then he said, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You see, people have this mistaken idea that liberty is license, and it is not. In Romans chapter number 8, in verse number 3, it says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Jesus Christ came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. James said that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. We know that Psalms 19 and verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The Bible tells us that the law is good, that the law is holy, the law is sure, the law is perfect. The law is for our own safety. It gives us boundaries. A number of years ago, I picked up a dog. Some people down the street were selling some Springer Spaniels, and I thought, I need to have another dog. And so I went down there, and I saw this pup. He was a solid, red-headed Springer Spaniel. And he was just as live as, he had so much energy. Man, he was used to running free. Well, I got him, and we decided to call him Jerry. Yeah, I had Jerry Springer living at my house. Yes, I know. And but anytime the door was open, man, he was out that door and he'd take off running. He would take off running, and out in the country we had cornfields, and I was just afraid the dog was going to get lost or he's going to get out on the road, and we know what happens then. I've actually lost a couple dogs that way, and I did not want to see him get hurt. So I come up with a plan. I'm going to fence in my backyard. Now, I lived out in the country. I had a big backyard, and Bill Rice came over and Brother John Phillips and a few others, and we put up a split rail fence, and I put wire mesh on the inside of that thing. And there was Jerry inside looking out, watching us put up this fence. And I put this fence up and put the gates up, and it took us, I don't know how long, it took us quite a while. But when the fence was done, Bill Rice said this, preacher, open the door and let him go. And so Gail went and opened up the door, and Jerry saw his opportunity. He darted out like he normally did, and he ran as fast as he could towards the cornfield. Then he come to the fence. And he put on the brakes. He looked this way and he looked this way, and he ran about four laps all around the yard, trying to find the escape route. There wasn't any. His demeanor completely changed. His hyperactivity stopped. He became calm. And as long as he was inside of that fence, he was safe. He had freedom to do whatever he wanted to do. There was not a safe rabbit that ever came into that yard, I'm telling you. Because he would chase that rabbit out. As soon as there was a rabbit out there, I'd say, sick 'em, Buster. And I'd open up the door and, boy, he'd go out there and chase that rabbit out. That whole yard belonged to him. If there was a blackbird that landed in that yard and he was out there, it didn't stay in there very long because he owned that yard. And he had freedom. He could do whatever he wanted in that yard. But if he got outside the fence, he was in danger. God gave us law for a reason. It gives us boundaries. It gives us protection. It helps keep us safe. And you can whine and cry and say, I don't like God's law. And I don't know why God wrote all this stuff. Listen, he did those things to keep you safe. The law was never given to save anybody's soul. Even the Apostle Paul said, wherefore the law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. Listen, the law doesn't save. The law keeps us safe. It protects us. It protects us from the wrath of God. It protects us from destroying ourselves and destroying our families. It protects us from destroying our society. That's why the law was given. Liberty is not freedom from the law. Jesus didn't come to destroy it, but to fulfill it. And it is not a license to sin. Liberty is not a license. Liberty is not freedom from the law of God. Because of what Jesus Christ did upon the cross of Calvary, we have freedom from the penalty of sin. We have freedom from the power of sin as we yield ourselves to Him. And one day when the trumpet sounds, we're going to have freedom from the presence of sin altogether. And we're going to live in His presence forever and ever. Jesus said this in John 8:36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. The question today is this: have you been made free by Jesus Christ? He offers liberty to all those that come to Him. That is salvation. And He offers it full and free to each and every one of us. Let's bow our heads, please. Liberty was so important that our founding fathers were willing to pledge their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor that we might have liberty. Liberty was so important, people endangered their own lives so we could have the freedoms we have today. Spiritually, liberty is so important. Jesus Christ paid the sacrifice for sin for us so that we might be made free. Today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are in bondage. And the only hope of ever seeing that year of Jubilee is only through what Christ has done. He has come to set at liberty those that are bruised. And today, if you don't know Christ, in just a moment, we're going to invite you to come. And someone will show you from the Bible how you can know for sure that your sins are forgiven and you're on your way to heaven. Let's all stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, today we are thankful for what you did for us on the cross of Calvary. And Lord, the liberty that we have in Christ. Lord, help us to realize that the law is meant for our good, not for our destruction. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand that without Jesus Christ, we are all in bondage, heading for destruction. And our only hope is in Thee. And our only hope is in the cross. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to examine our hearts. And Lord, as we examine ourselves and we find ourselves weighed in the balances and found wanting, help us, Lord, to flee to the cross where we might find refuge and safety and forgiveness. I pray, Lord, now that You'd bless in a great way. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.